Hello and welcome to episode 2 of Crafting the Short Story. So this topic is going to be based again on a weekly writers group that I'm a member of, and not only the things that I learned there, but as you'll see this week, the topic is going to be the new way in which we structure the meetings. So not especially about something specific to writing or the craft, but rather to how one gets criticism and peer review and what is most effective and what we've found has really worked. Probably about 2 months ago, we changed the way that we do our critiques or the way that we work completely, honestly. So beforehand, though, we did it to where someone brought in work if they had work to bring, and they were supposed to bring several copies. It's hard to tell how many people are going to be there. We've had as few as 4. We've had as many as probably 15. So it's hard to tell how many copies to bring. So generally speaking, you're supposed to err on the side of caution and bring several. And that often meant that some went to waste. Or sometimes someone would guess a little short. And next thing you know, the people had to share. And this, of course, hurt the ability to write down suggestions and such, even if it didn't hurt necessarily how the story was heard. And then, secondly, priority would go to whoever hadn't brought anything in a while. A little bit general, not terribly specific. There would be a little bit of guesswork involved, saying, no, you haven't brought anything in about a month. You go ahead. I'll do mine next, or something like that. A typical round-robin discussion of the work. So either poker style or reverse poker style round-robin, just kind of depends. That gets varied up, and that's pretty much stayed the same. And the work would be read aloud and kept loosely about 3,000 words. And we would usually tackle between 2 and 4 works for a two-hour meeting. Plenty of times it was 2. It was 2 more often than it was 4. But I suppose the magic number is usually 3, depending upon lengths. So a few of those things stayed the same, but a few of them changed. And I think this was really brought about, the change, by a sort of habit that we had fallen into where the person being critiqued, the writer, would begin to defend his or her position with each person's comments. Not if they were asked a question, but literally stalling the process by not really processing the critique, but rather defending whatever position they had during the writing. And that's not terribly effective. So we came together and powwowed and decided on a different model. Not that it's all that radical, but there is been a huge difference. Now the work is submitted to the entire group about 2 days prior. I've even seen some groups, another group I'm a part of that meets only once a month. The things have to be sent before close of business on Friday for a meeting after close of business on Monday. And that certainly gives plenty of time. In this case, usually Thursday. Anytime Thursday, it's good to receive the work for a Saturday morning, mid-morning meeting. And it doesn't mean that if it's sent Friday, it wouldn't be considered. But there have been things that have been sent Friday night or even Saturday morning. And it's virtually the same as not sending it out at all at that point. So it's sent out then. The burden for printing is on the critiquers in this case. So that changed a lot. So the person who's going to be reading will bring a copy, their own copy, of course. And usually as a matter of courtesy, they'll bring a couple of more because there are still people in the group, as there probably are in any group of any size, who really don't have access to a printer. Now, I will say, like, if when someone had to print their own work, this would often dissuade someone who had no printer at home and maybe didn't have a printer at work. Therefore, they would be stuck going to Kinko's and paying, I mean, with computer usage as well as paying per page, it wouldn't surprise me if it was about a quarter a page. It's not good. So, you know, $10-$12 in order to have their story reviewed, where the rest of us, it might be as simple as printing something either at home or on a laser at work or something like that. So there's still some people who just don't have an easy time printing something. So often the reader would still bring a couple of spare copies. And then work is read and the order's received, period. It doesn't matter length. It doesn't matter content. We even have certain things we do that are exercises where some things are not exercises. I think the only exception we'd make is if someone had a deadline. If they were applying to an MFA program and just had to have the application in a few days, and we're doing a last-minute edit, sure, someone's going to defer to them and let them go first. But by and large, it's not even a question any longer. It's when it was received. And another big difference, the writer doesn't generally speak until the critiques are complete. So it goes all the way around, and you can ask direct questions, and the writer can address direct questions. But generally, the writer doesn't speak, just waits till the end. Even then, it once or twice turned into a long sort of spiel about the defense of the work. I think that's probably inevitable, but it did not at least keep people from critiquing. So if the person is going to ignore the critique, they're going to ignore the critique. There's nothing you can do about that. And hopefully such people would eventually grow tired of hearing critique and quit your group or be asked to leave, whatever. But most people would not look at it as their chance to speak, i.e. defend their work. I think most people would maybe address a couple of salient questions, a couple of overlapping points that have been made, perhaps. Ideally, you'd say almost nothing at all, or ask a couple of questions because you want something clarified or want to hear more about a point. And also, ideally, of course, thanking the people who have given you criticism, as opposed to getting defensive at all. No need for that. And it's definitely cut down on that. Now, this hasn't actually changed the length of what can be read. It does, however, potentially change the length of what can be considered. That is, if the group agrees and someone wants to submit an 8,000-word short story or something far longer than what can be read, they can say, I'm submitting this, I want to hear developmental critiques, and if someone wants to line edit, then please line edit, and you're always going to have someone who copy edits. Then, you know, potentially you could do that instead of breaking it into a couple of chunks. But you wouldn't read it aloud. But that leaves the possibility for it. Otherwise, with the old model, you couldn't come in with an 8,000-word short story and hand out copies and say, I don't want to read this aloud, just take it home and mark it up. But of course, another obvious change that this has resulted in is the ability to use track changes in Word. And for me, I have terrible handwriting. I don't like having to scribble my notes at the speed of light as I'm trying to also listen to the story, especially if I'm listening to it the first time. So this has been wonderful for me. Usually what I'll do is I'll do usually line editing and copy editing, I would say, via track changes, and then make more developmental editing, broader observations and critiques when it's my turn to speak. And of course, if you have a copy that's already, you know, track changes has already been made to it, when you get to hear it again, you can mark a couple of new things that you probably would have missed, certainly would have missed, if it were read to you only that one time when it were brought in. So the quality and the depth of the criticism has improved monumentally. There's no doubt about that. Like I've said, there's very little deferring to others as well. If it's your turn, you read. Because, of course, you have so many different personalities that you'll oftentimes come across a personality who thinks, oh, well, I bring enough. My work really isn't that important. It isn't edited well enough. And keep deferring and deferring and deferring. Part of that is the person genuinely trying to be courteous. Another part is probably avoiding criticism. So this also holds their feet to the fire a little bit and says, no, if you submitted, you know, Thursday at 3 p.m., you were just behind this guy and in front of this guy. So you're on the roster and you're going to read, as opposed to, you know, consistently trying to put it off to someone else because maybe you've been submitting too many things or it's been a long time since the other person submitted or something like that. And I found that having read it and made track changes, to a work, going into the meeting and then hearing it again, you know, so I've read it and then I get to hear it. It helps a lot to get any kind of other critiques that maybe were just in the back of my brain. You know, maybe I can really pay attention to point of view. If I've read it through once, read it through again and made some line edits and general critiques, let's say, and then I hear it again, I certainly am more prone to think of more atypical perhaps even broader opinions about the piece than I would have been if it were the first time I was hearing it, and instead of writing down the multiple sentence explanation of why I think this paragraph needs to be whacked or whatever, I do so at the detriment of actually being involved in the story, because I have to just, I'll be distracted and not be able to hear it, whereas a submit ahead of time, that's perfect. So this might work in contrast to how a typical writing class might work, a creative writing college class, I mean, and as well as some of the MFA grad student-sponsored critique circles. I've been to several of those, too. At Arizona State, they have them all the time. And that is, for undergrad creative writing, often it's a bit of a payday for the professor, let's face it. No homework for him, no homework for his students. Very opt-in, you know, listen to the work, round robin, and give critique at the very end. 3 hours on Wednesday night or what have you, and usually lets out a little bit early. It's a pretty sweet gig for a professor who might otherwise have to grade papers, have to spend hours and hours creating a curriculum for creative writing. The curricula I have found usually stay the same. It's a pretty sweet gig, so you're not going to get a whole lot of cases where the person looks that horse in the mouth. They're not going to say, okay, well, let's all read everything that's going to be brought in, have it nice and marked up, and then it'll be read aloud in class. Or more so, we have 15 people in this class, and I want every single week for 10 of you to write, and all of it will be submitted, all of it read and critiqued, and we'll only read aloud one or two, or none at all, and all will be discussion about the works that we all know we've all read. Yeah, right. That's not going to happen. Way too much work for a professor for that to manifest. So I don't think that those classes are the gold standard. I think the gold standard, of course, is what you make it and what works best for your group. And it so depends upon size, upon what your goals are, and whether or not you're all writing similar work, sure. But what we have switched to, I can tell, is a huge marked improvement. And I hope that mimicking that can help someone else out there who's trying to form a writer's group, because it has, without a doubt, made it more challenging, more interesting, and upped our buy-in so much more in the last 2 months since implementing these changes. So that's all I've got for this episode. There are plenty more episodes to come, so certainly check back. I welcome any comments or critique you have about this podcast, or any suggestions you might have as to what would be a good topic to discover. I foresee in the future, with subsequent episodes, talking as much about the writing process as about the logistics of writing, or life of a writer, or anything else that might come up. Maybe even copyright and digital publishing. So not all specifically about the actual words on the page of a short story.